News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. Happy Monday to you. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Got some special guests this morning. When you hear that Top Gun music, you know our friends are here from NAS Pensacola. Bruce Cummings is here. He is our public affairs, I guess, director, officer, manager, VIP, big mucky muck, you know, was all those. Oh, yeah, the big mucky muck.
She promoted me way too much on that. But I got to tell you, I was just listening to your intro, your opening track on that. Is that the soundtrack of the Navy? What about some Anchors Away? I don't know. I just remember hearing that all these times. But yeah.
Well, you know, most of the guys that are Top Guns had to start here, didn't they?
Indeed, they must.
So what can I say? There you go. So we've got some special guests here today. Well, I'll let you introduce everybody, Bruce.
Oh, brand new Command Master Chief for Naval Air Station Pensacola, and that is Brian Belfay. CMC, you know, taking over. So that is an interesting one right there. And also newly reported on board Chief Mass Communication Specialist Ian Cotter coming aboard Naval Air Station Pensacola. So finally, some relief in sight for myself.
There you go.
You know, but CMC, you know, he's got it all down right there. And, you know, I sent you the bio, and he's got kind of an interesting career.
It's,
you know, the way you
want
to look
impressive
at that, because you're coming from a CB battalion, for those of you who don't know, the construction battalions, and the closest one we've got over here is in Gulfport, I want to say.
It is correct. Yeah. Yep.
Gulfport, so you're coming out of the CB things, and now you're going to the aviation side of it. Can you tell us a little bit about how, you know, what's that like? What's that like going from, you know, CBs and then coming to the polar opposite of it, which is aviation?
Not so much, really. I mean, when I was with the CBs, you know, I did 20 years with the CBs, and then I rolled into the Command Master Chief role, and then the Command Master Chief role, regardless of where you're at, what community you're in, it's kind of the same thing, same roles and responsibilities, what we do, taking care of sailors, taking care of families, knocking down barriers so our sailors can do what they get paid to do, giving them the tools they need. So it wasn't so much of a big change there, but learning the different communities and the lingo and how to talk around a bunch of aviators, that has been a big big change.
Welcome to the world of acronyms.
But very exciting. We're similar in some things, so kind of fell into place, I think, pretty well. And I have an amazing team that helps me along the way when I get some words I don't understand. But, yeah, it's all good.
You've touched on it a little bit, but for those of us that are not in the military, when it says Command Master Chief, that sounds really important to me. So tell me a little bit about what your duties entail and what that means.
Yeah, so I guess another term for a Command Master Chief would be like a senior enlisted advisor. So I am an advisor to the commanding officer. I take the commanding officer's intent and I turn it into action. I make sure that the sailors, the officers within our units understand the commander's intent, that everything we do throughout the workday is contributing to that intent, and they're staying within the guidelines. I also, you know, make sure that everyone is following good order and discipline and standards, so we honor the uniform and honor our nation the best way possible, and hold those accountable who don't.
Oh, boy, that's a tough job.
So
that's a lot.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when people get stuck and they just can't get over a barrier, we have, you know, folks that we can reach out to help overcome those challenges and, you know, keep the mission moving forward.
Okay, I got to say this because I have an ear for dialects, but I heard barrier. Where are you from?
Initially, I'm from Massachusetts.
That's where it is. I thought it was maybe a little Boston in there.
Born and raised, yes. And then just did 3 years up in Newport,
Rhode Island. See Island. That accent, Bruce? 3 years, various. I love it.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm an actor, so I do a lot of dialect coach. So I picked up on it right away. So you'll change here. You'll pick up some of the southernism. So it'll be barrier instead of barrier.
So I was getting pretty good with my R's because I spent about 10 years in Mississippi before I went to California, and I was doing pretty good.
There you go.
And then, like I said, when I got stationed back up in Newport, it kind of gave me a reset, and I was back to, you know, talking Bostonian, I guess you'd say.
There it slips out, I know.
It does a little bit.
Well, we're glad that you're here, and I'm curious to hear, how many people do you supervise when you're in this role?
It depends how big the unit is, right? Mm-hmm. So with the team we have in Pensacola, we have a staff roughly between 200-300 folks, both active duty and civilian. But, you know, that staff of NAS Pensacola, they're, you know, responsible to ensure that the 25,000 plus that come through the gate have everything they need daily, providing them all the support services to enable their missions. I mean, 126 tenant commands on board the installation, both at NAS. And what a lot of people don't understand, you know, Corey Station, that falls on the NAS too.
Right.
So making sure they have all the support and the programs in place to make sure they can do their job. So
Well, there's so many of us that live here, and we kind of take y'all for granted because we think of the Navy Blue Angels, and everybody waits on Sundays for them to come on home.
Yes.
But there's so much more to what y'all do. And I mean, how many? 126?
126 commands. So everybody aviation, right, with the maintainers and the pilots, but also the cyber world. If you're anything to do with cyber, you're coming through Pensacola.
No kidding.
And then we have the Coast Guard on board. We have some Army folks on board, Air Force. I mean, all services.
So what are your biggest challenges as Commander Master Chief?
Making sure I can support everyone, right? Understand there has to be a
balance.
That's
a small, just everyone.
Everyone, right? You want
to... everyone. I'm responsible for everyone.
you want to try to get to yes on most things, right?
Sure.
That's kind of what our role is how to get to yes. We don't want to be the ones that say no. And it becomes challenging at times.
Sure.
You can't give up. Right?
I think one of the unique things about the Command Master Chief role, at least from what I've heard, is, you know, it takes a lot of people, you know, to get things accomplished. And the mess, you know, they just celebrated their birthday, I want to say, in
200.
April.
200.
Not the 200 for the base, but very significant milestone for the Navy enlisted side of things right there. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How important it is to maintain those connections within the mess to make sure that everything is, going according to plan.
Yeah, so everybody talks about the Chief's Mess, right? You know, April 1st, 1893, we turned 133 years old this year on April 1st. And everybody talks about, you know, the 30,000 Chief Petty Officers that are currently serving today's Navy. But it extends a lot further than that, right? It's worldwide reachable. The network is just unbreakable when it comes to that. And then we have a huge retired community, whether retired or active duty. Once you're a chief petty officer, you're always a chief petty officer.
And many of them live here.
100%, right? And then a lot of our chiefs, when they retire, they go off to fill these roles that support the installations, they support the commands, whether that's GS or contractor. So we're still connected, we're still interlinked, and we still support each other. And, you know, the active duty chief petty officers wouldn't be able to do what they do without the retired chief petty officers in that community. But all together, we come up as one, and we get things done. If we need something in Okinawa, Japan, I can just make one phone call and get something done in Okinawa, Japan.
Wow.
Whether it's anywhere in Europe, it's just reaching out to a fellow chief petty officer in Europe. We don't say no to each other. We get to yes together on whatever thing we're trying to get after. And it's just incredible how we can execute so much stuff. You know, not to knock, the O's on anything, the officers, but sometimes the officers come to us just to get things done because the way the network is so unified, it's incredible. And I'll tell you, the retired chief petty officer community here is like something I'd never seen before. When I was stationed out in California, San Diego, Ventura County, or up in Newport, Rhode Island, when the folks up in Newport heard I was coming down to Pensacola, they said the chief's mess down there is incredible.
Wow.
It's like no other. And then I got here, living in a Navy lodge for about a month with my wife and four dogs and my 19-year-old son. And the Chief's Lodge, Chief's Mess, was right behind the Navy Lodge. And I walked down there, and me and the wife got such a warm welcome from the folks there, both active duty and retired. It immediately became part of that family on like day one, and it's incredible.
Well, we're excited that you're here. We're talking with our friends from NAS Pensacola, and we will be back with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. If you've got a question, please text it in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. And we're back. This is Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. We're talking with our friends from NAS Pensacola. Pleased to have Command Master Chief Brian Bellafay here with us, as well as Chief Ian, is it Cotton?
Cotter, ma'am.
Yes. Welcome, Ian, to the show. I want to hear a little bit about your background, too. Let's hear what's going on with you and how you got here.
Well, I would like to say it is great to be back down here in Pensacola, Florida.
So you were here before.
Absolutely, I was. About 10 years ago, 2016 to 2019, I served as one of the media personnel for the Blue Angels, so on their public affairs team. Yes, ma'am.
I'm very familiar with that. I used to work out on the beach, so.
Absolutely.
With the air show. It's really a phenomenal role.
And it's a great year for not only the team, but for the base itself. I mean, the team is going to be celebrating their 80th anniversary, so 80 years of the Blue Angels, culminating with the Blue Angels homecoming air show, which also celebrates 200 years forged here of NAS Pensacola, which started out as a deep water port back in 1826.
Wow. It's hard to even get your mind around that, 200 years.
So I'm going to spitball this, but there weren't airplanes at the time? Is that what,
not that I know of. I don't think so. No airplanes at the time.
No, 1826, it was determined that Pensacola, Florida, because of the timber reserves and the bay, was going to be a great spot for Naval Shipyard Pensacola. So 1826, Naval Shipyard Pensacola founded in April. So we're celebrating 200 years this year of in what we know now as Naval Air Station Pensacola. So 200 years forged here. We were just talking about that. What's the, what is that? What does that exactly mean?
So 200 years forged here really just embraces the heritage of, you know, building a Navy and building our fleet, right? And goes along with our Chief of Naval Operations priorities, obviously the foundry, where we create not only ships, right? We forge sailors and we forge opportunities for people's futures.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we had a comment come in on our text line, 850-437-1620. This is from one of our listeners. His name is Michael. And Michael says, my best 3 months in the Navy was the temporary assignment to work 3 months in the chief's mess. There you go. And we got another question. How busy is NAS Pensacola right now and this year with school graduations in May and June? Do we get a fresh bunch of recruits flooding into our area for the base this summer?
So very busy, right? So we just, a few weeks ago, we had the NJROTC competitions, the national competitions come
through. I saw that in the news, yeah.
It was about 1,100 NJROTC folks that came through. And, I mean, daily, as always, 25,000 folks coming through those gates that are going to do something that's contributing to our mission. So busy, from sun up to sundown, we're doing something out there.
NAS Pensacola today, we're providing the support so the tenant commands can go ahead and get individuals trained on a variety of different things. If you're coming into the Navy to learn how to fly aircraft, you're going to start here. If you're coming to the Navy to be a maintainer, to learn how to work on aircraft, this is where you're going to go. But also, if you're coming in the Navy to learn how to, or even get some advanced training on any of the cyber disciplines that are going on, this is where you're going to come. Corey Station, really up and coming. And by some calculations, 60% of the fleet begins here at Naval Air Station Pensacola. So, when they're coming in, they go to that recruiting office, they sign that paper and go, why did I do this? There's a reason for that. And they're going to end up really appreciating it later on in life. But 60% of those individuals come through these doors. So it is always busy making sure. And I want to say, there's close to 60,000 individuals that graduate from various schools here annually. So, that's something to think about. To piggyback into how that lasting impact that it has, this is one of the fastest growing veteran population retiree areas in the country.
I'm not surprised to hear that at all.
Individuals come here, whether it's for a tour, whether it's for, an ongoing series of tours. They end up sticking around.
Or come back. They always come back because it's so beautiful here.
Yeah, but 200 years forged here. That's where we're at. If you see the logo that we put together, that's, he's in a little period costume.
Ah,
on that. And
okay.
A little nod to a very famous formation pioneered by the Blue Angels is on that logo as well. That's a little...
I would say that the logo does look like the iconic Delta Breakout towards the end of the year.
I have seen that every once in a while. Yeah. So with the 200-year celebration, Bruce, anything coming up, any special events happening? I know we've got Navy Days coming up, so that's exciting, just next weekend.
Navy Days is a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate the closeness that the community has with the base. So many times when I'm answering the phone or getting emails or responding to social media posts, people refer to it as our base.
Yes.
Which I absolutely love. I think that's great because no matter where you go, and I know you're with me on this, CMC, never seen it quite like this. The respect and admiration that individuals have in the community for the service members, that's a unique one.
It's incredible. Yep. And just like I said, when we first got here, the warm welcome we got from the community, and just last week we went down to the Navy Day events. Down on Fallifax.
Oh, the gallery night. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
That was a party for us, right? United States Navy. It was,
There's a lot of parties and festivals around here. You'll discover that for sure.
And then that concert we just had a couple weeks ago, right? We had Richard Dixon and Kay Brown come in. We had about 8,000 folks that enjoyed that concert.
Right.
That one, we looked at that as a great way to kind of kick off 200th birthday celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some stuff, coming this year. A lot of it going to be on the installation. So we're going to make sure that we get that out to the proper channel so people can actually see what we got going on. But just bear in mind, 200 years forged here. And that is a nod to, you know, like you said, the CNO's principles right there. And, you know, just to look at how this place came to be. You know, Pounder, there's some areas on the installation that are quite historic. Everybody is always talking about that. You know, one of them's a big smokestack, and the other one's a building down by the Port Ops. That was it was literally a foundry, you know, back in the day for putting that stuff together. So, but foundry, like you were saying before, is you know, it's got a, you know, another meaning as well. And we're all about ensuring that our service members that are coming here, you know, whether they're soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, or Guardians. Space Force.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get them out to the fleet and do great things.
You segued right into a question from one of our listeners. Dan's asking, he says, when is NAS going to start up the Space A?
Oh, yeah, well, I
the Space A flights.
A few of them. The Space A flights.
That's what it says
that's
here. Yeah, I'm not
right
sure
there.
What that is. So
you know what? We'll get your information. We'll get back with you on that. The Space A, is a difference, and that's a space available for, you know, military aviation.
He says it's for active duty and retirees.
For active duty and retirees.
I know what it is. I can't remember what the acronym is. Like, so, so many acronyms.
Space availability.
Space availability.
Okay.
But we'll take a look into that, and I'll get your information, and we'll get you an email out on it, okay?
Okay, great questions coming in. We're talking to our friends with NAS Pensacola, Command Master Chief Brian Bellefay. We also have Chief Ian Cotter here, and Bruce Cummings with Public Affairs. If you've got a question for him, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on Monday morning. We have our friends from NAS Pensacola here. We have Command Master Chief, Brian K. Bellefay is here, Chief Ian Cotter.
Yes, ma'am.
Cotter is here, and Bruce Cummings. So we've got just a few minutes to wrap things up. Anything you want to touch on this morning?
I know. Once again, always, thanks so much for having us on. Always a good time. And we're just really looking forward to getting down to see what we can do to celebrate the 200th. We got some stuff planned and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that the 200th celebration of the base being a foundry, not just for ships, wooden built ships, but for sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, Guardians.
There's such an extensive history here.
It's a lot of history, a lot of legacy to carry forward into the next several years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all this year's celebrations culminating with the NAS Pensacola Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show.
What are the dates on that?
That is November 6th and 7th. Really looking forward to that. That's going to be a good time.
Absolutely.
Okay, and of course, there's always the summer air show as well.
Yeah, that one we affectionately refer to as the JV show.
You
know,
oh!
No, just kidding. That's a joke.
Oh, don't tell the people on the beach that.
No, we have a great time getting it ready, and I do talk with the director of that air show considerably.
Absolutely.
So, no, it's always good. It's two separate missions on that one, and it's equal fun for both on every count.
Absolutely.
So it should be a really good time, both of those. But November 6th and 7th, Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show this year. That's going to wrap up our 200 years. Forged here.
Yeah, amazing. 200 years forged here. And if anybody wants any more information on 200 years forged here, please feel free to follow NAS Pensacola's social media pages. We have a Facebook, we have an X account, LinkedIn, and of course,
Insta,
of course. How could that have slipped my mind? Instagram.
What's that one?
So, yeah, be sure to follow us, NAS Pensacola, on any of those social media channels.
And I know you can get more information because we've been talking a lot about it here at the station for Pensacola Navy Days coming up this next weekend.
Oh, yes.
So you can go to, I believe there's a page, PensacolaNavyDays.com,
I believe. Pensacola Navy Days, you know, that's the party that the community that loves us so much is throwing for us.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So it's going to be a lot of good stuff right there. And once again, demonstrative of how important this naval installation is to the community that adores it. We had talked before about the retiree population here in the area, and so many people have such a vested interest in what goes on there and how it continues to progress and evolve over the years.
Okay, I'm going to squeeze in a quick question here as we're checking out, but a Mustang retired Navy and huge supporter of the Chief's Mess, do you have any honorary members possibly? Is there a way I can become an honorary member?
So there is a Pat Poa, a CPOA association down there on the installation, but there is.
Okay.
You can get access to the base if you come down to the CPO club and you know, meet a couple folks down there and have the conversation.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being on Pep Talk.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. It's been a great time.